Welcome to the Complex of Life, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Today is going to be a very important show, like always. But before we start the show, what's up, everybody? Hope you had a good day. Hey, because if we don't cheer now, as we go along in this conversation, you won't be cheering later on. So let's get the cheering on right now. Hey, 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 happy Monday. And we have Ms. Jackie in studio. Ms. Jackie, what's happening?
Woo, happy Monday, people. And what a Monday it is. You know, I don't know about y'all, but this has been one busy Monday. My gracious. Happy Monday, family. I'm smiling, though. I'm smiling. It's all good. But Lord, have mercy.
Yes, indeedly, deedly, deed. Oh, my God. I'll tell you, today we have some important stuff to talk about right here on the show today. Today we're talking about verbal abuse hurts. We put a post up on the Couples Conflict page. I'm going to read you that post. Hundreds of people already liked it and shared it and commented on it. I'm not going to read all those comments. But you can go to the Couples Conflict page, and it's there on verbal abuse. But before we get into this hot topic, thank you for everybody who's on the show right now listening in. If you have a comment or question, just simply hit the number one key, and we'll be glad to take your comment right here on the air. And you can always reach us on our main page, which is The Conflicts of Life. And our email address is theconflictsoflife@gmail.com. So that is that. As far as announcements, I don't want to do too much because I'm ready to get into today's show. Ms. Jackie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey. All right. Anyway, let me stop playing. All right. Here's the deal, everybody. Let me read actually what was posted by Lady Sagacity. She posted something that was very, very touching. Here's what she said. She said, verbal abuse. Hurtful words have power, and they seep deep within our soul. When a parent tells their child, you're ugly, you're nothing, or I hate you, those words never leave that child. Those words echo in their heart for years, even into adulthood. In a relationship, hurtful words wound us like a knife and cuts deep within our hearts. We become numb. We become stained. We become silent. When you tell your partner, I can do better than you, I don't need you, or I never wanted you in the first place, it hurts more than you cheating or lying on them. Remember, words can never be taken back. Once they are released into the atmosphere, they create energy. Hurtful words become a part of a person's memory. If you don't believe me, just think about what you remember the most growing up as a child. Chances are, what you will remember most is what people told you, whether good or bad. I remember the words my parents spoke to me more than the gifts they gave me under the Christmas tree. Words have power. Knowing this can save marriages, relationships, and help our children emotionally. Remember, verbal abuse is just as bad as physical abuse, if not worse. If you have experienced verbal abuse ever in your life, know that you are not alone. Create and speak words that heal and restores a person's heart. I said, wow, that was deep. Woo! You know what? And what was so crazy about it, Ms. Jackie, because actually on yesterday, I had a pastor, who came over here to the house to come and visit me and sit down and talk with me for a little bit. And he shared with me that he actually was trying to counsel a young man who received verbal abuse and other things that took place when he was a child from his father. And now he's in a marriage that his wife is highly concerned about, but to him, he doesn't see anything wrong with himself, even though everybody sees that there's something wrong with him due to his childhood. So let's deal with the overview first, and then we'll get into the weeds. So, Jackie, first off, what's your idea of verbal abuse?
I mean, that was very beautiful what she wrote. When I deal with verbal abuse, the abuse that I took and that I see that I'm most closest to is not necessarily the normal verbal abuse. the verbal abuse that I pick up more on is when a person that has been hurt, because what it is just a trend. It's just generation after generation after generation after generation. People do what they're taught. And one of the things really amongst black people deeply, because, you know, I speak on blacks, but one of the things is, you know, when you go back to your ancestors and you go back to your great-great-great-great-grandparents, okay, there was very little lovey-dovey tender words. There were more harsh words. There were more hurtful words. But it was done with the intent to try to motivate you to be better. For instance, nowadays, you know, you might hear a mother say, you know, that you know your fat butt is too big for that. You know your fat butt shouldn't be doing that. Now, the mother, with all sincerity, may be trying to motivate the child to lose weight. But instead, she's, you know, you're sticking nails in her. Or you may, or you hear, you know, so-and-so is smart. I don't understand why, you know, you can't simply get the, you know, do the math when everybody else can seem to do the math. I don't understand, you know, why this is so difficult for you when it, you know, it goes easy for your brother. It's an attempt to motivate one, but it tears one down. My personal thing, two men who love me dearly, and there's no doubt in my mind that they love me with all they have. But one of their ways of motivating me as a child was, you know, I had to be number one. You either you number one or you nothing, Jackie. You got to be number one, period. You've got to be the best. You got to maintain being the best. That was to motivate me to push myself to do more. You know, that was to you. That would that speech was to want me to go out there and be better than everybody else. You got to be better than the next person. You got
to
be better.
Right. That's just to make you competitive. Average. Right.
Right. And in a sense, it kind of paralyzed me throughout my life for a minute until I recognized what it was. You know, someone's always gonna be better than you. And sometimes you're not going to be the best at everything or certain things. But as a child, if you feel total disappointment because you weren't the best, you didn't come in first, you know, you didn't get honors when you graduated from high school, you know, you graduated, but you didn't get to wear all the colors, you know, all that wonderful stuff. So a lot of it, a lot of that, you know, being, a, you know, that kind of stuff for me was I never was bitter about it.
Right.
I understood
right.
where it came from. I knew the root reason why it came. Now, as a child, it took me, you know, I had to go through growing up and going through life and going through some stuff to identify what this is. But I never held it against them because I knew that they loved me. I didn't,
right.
you know, they didn't choose the best way to motivate somebody, but it scarred you because you feel like they're never good enough. And you become,
right.
as a girl, for a lot of girls, they become promiscuous.
Yeah.
A lot of girls
yeah.
become promiscuous because they're not good enough. So they're always looking for approval from the males, be it, you know, man after man after man after man, because you don't feel pretty enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'll never have that. So to me, that's the kind of abuse more so that sits closer to me than, you know, the outlanguage, you know, straight up verbal, go, you know, in your face.
Right, right.
Let's
talk about this a little bit. Let's go from a guy's point of view. It's amazing to me also, just doing a little more research, and this is just me, but it's really amazing to me that as a father, your words carry more weight than the mother oftentimes. A mom can say something, and you just say, oh, that's my mama, she just tripping. But a dad will say something, and when his words scar you, they scar you forever. I don't know why it's like that, and maybe some of our listeners can better jump in and explain that, because I do see people piling in. Thank you again for joining us. If you have a comment or question, just hit the number one key. We'd be glad to take your comment. But either way it goes, I think the problem is that we use words so loosely, and what I am currently learning is to shut my mouth when I'm angry, or to choose my words carefully, or don't say anything until I can figure out what I can say that will get my message across without trying to scar the individual. Because when we talk, we always tell people, I'm going to give you a damn piece of my mind. Well, that piece that you're giving to that person may not be the best piece to give them. And it may, and oftentimes I say, and this is, I'm guilty. It is not what you say. It is often how you say it that impacts a person positively or negatively. So if you say things with an attitude like, I don't care how you're going to receive it as long as I give it to you and I feel better, then typically you're not considering the long-term ramifications of the receiver. And here's something interesting, Jackie, and I want to get your perspective on this. Because in my opinion, the whole point of me expressing my feelings to you is so that you can receive and understand where I'm coming from. But if I'm just going to yak my mouth and I don't care how you're going to take it, then what was the point of telling you in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I agree, but I was telling a young man who's getting ready to get married. He was fussing a little bit about his wife-to-be. And he was like, you know, and I confess, I said, you know, women don't listen too well. You know, sometimes we already have the response before you even get the whole thing out your mouth. I said,
what?
But a lot of times it also has to do with how you present it.
Right.
Your presentation. Now, if you are coming, and that's why I tell people, and I'm telling you from experience, you know, I'm speaking because I learned from trial and error. You know, don't wait till you get emotional, because when you get emotional, a whole bunch of extra stuff is coming out. And when the extra stuff comes out, no one's paying attention to the whole point of the story because they so busy listening to the extra stuff, you know, the hurtful stuff, that other stuff that's pure emotion. You know, I'm tired of that. You know how, come on now, y'all know, you know when it gets there. And we do it when we get emotional. We're too afraid, let's keep it real, we're too afraid to have some conversations that need to be had. And we only have those conversations when we had enough. And when we have enough, by that time, we done got all, we're like a pressure cooker. And it comes out just all just wrong. You know what I'm saying? Not nice and neat.
Yep,
the person can get
true.
The point of view that you come with. So I think I agree with what you say, because you should communicate. And on top of that, let me say this. On top of that, you really can't be held 100% accountable for how a person receives the message. You see what I'm saying? Because a person receives information based on their mindset. If they have a mindset that everybody thinks, you know, everybody better than me, everybody after me, everybody think they this, this, and that, everybody. So no matter what you say to this person, okay, they already got a mindset that it ain't going to be good. It's something bad, you know.
Right.
So as you speak in it, so you can get your point across so they can get what you're trying to say, they're missing it because they already formed this opinion about what you're going to say before you even get it all out.
Yeah, you're right about that. And here's the thing. I do agree, but I think oftentimes there's a book out that I just ordered, and it's a pretty good book. It's called Well Said. I suggest that people get that book. Anytime you have to interact with people, I think this is one of the best things you're going to be able to do is invest into the approach. Because oftentimes life is nothing more than a presentation. When you're sharing your ideas and your thoughts and your feelings, you're giving a presentation. And one of the biggest things that she wrote in the book in the initial onset, she says when she does trainings for large corporations, she always holds a contest. And what she will do, she will offer a $100 bill to anyone who would get the answer right. So what is the question she asks? The question she asks is, during a presentation, what is the most important part of the presentation? And oftentimes the answers are, well, it's your research. Well, it's the slides. Well, it's, you know, your enunciation. It's your flow. And she said after doing hundreds upon hundreds of discussions with businesses and so forth, only 10 people ever got it right. And so I was curious to find out, okay, what is the freaking answer? Because I couldn't figure it out myself, because those are all the answers I would have gave. And the answer was so simple. The answer was, what's the most important part of a presentation? The audience. The person to whom you're speaking to. Have you considered who your audience is? Have you considered how they would feel when you get done talking to them? And this is one of the things I think that we don't do when we speak in anger. And again, I'm holding two hands and 2 feet up because I'm guilty. But I'm learning that it is a skill that is necessary to preserve relationships, not for your immediate moment of anger, but for the long term. Based upon the person to whom you're speaking, if you already know they have certain characteristical traits, then you have to consider your audience. Maybe I can call you, man, you so silly. Okay, but you wouldn't be offended with that. Matter of fact, some people, they say, man, yeah, I know I am, man, I'm crazy. You know, and they take it as a compliment. But I can tell somebody else who's very sensitive, hey, you so silly. And they'd be like, well, why you call me that? Everybody think I'm stupid. Everybody, see, it just depends on who you're talking to. And so when we talk, we have to consider, how will my words impact this person? And I think when you're speaking in anger, you don't give a damn about who's going to be impacted at all. Long as I feel better when I get done saying what I got to say. So I thought that was an intriguing idea. So let's take this to a marriage situation, Jackie. Let's step the game up a little bit further. Marriage or a close relationship, you know, where you're trying to, you know, have something going on, some firecrackers. You know, you're living with somebody, you're dating, or you're married. What's some things that you would suggest not to do to make sure you're not a verbal abuser?
For me, my weakness was the emotional part because, you know, I don't like drama. And for me, I like to keep the peace the best way I know how. So most of the time for me when I deal with people, loved ones or whoever, I speak to you like from the heart, as if I wanted you to speak to me. I really do try to deal with people the same way I want them to deal with me. That sometimes is an issue for me because, you know, the world don't deal with you the way you deal with the world. But I really do that. I really do deal with other people like I would want them to deal with me. When I'm talking to my children or my husband or anyone, it is genuinely coming from the heart. You know, and you may not like what I say, and that's okay. That's okay, because sometimes you know, and what I say may not be your truth. It may be my truth. But I need to say what I got to say, and I need for you to hear what I have to say. Now, what you do with the information once it's said is totally on you. You know, and again, I try to present it in a way, because I don't want you to speak to me in a hurtful way. And I often tell myself, if it doesn't bless you or elevate you in some form or shape, I don't want to say it. If it's that's just, to me, it's just gossip. If it doesn't serve that person, if what's coming out your mouth does not serve them in a good way, then you need to not say it. You need to leave it alone. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be good, because sometimes things you got to say ain't so good, but it's there to serve that person in a good way. Make sense?
Right. I get it. And
you know,
I
don't want that to be confusing to the rest of the world.
Well, I do have to say this too. You know, oftentimes just because you may not like what I have to say doesn't mean that I'm being verbally abusive. Let's go that route. Because oftentimes, just because I'm telling you something you don't like to hear, oh, you're being verbally abusive. No, I'm just telling you what you need to hear. Because oftentimes I've hinted around to you that I don't like something, and you continue to do it, so it's quite obvious you can't take a hint. So let me give it to you, like you always say, Jackie, straight with no chaser, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
While we're quick, take a sleeping pill when you get done. Yes, I got to give you the knockout punch because you just ain't taking a hint. So at that point, you can call me a verbal abuser, but you know what? That's on you, because I tried to give it to you as easy as I watered it down. I hinted. I kind of breezed around it. Now, you know what? Oh, well, it's time for you to hear it. Now, here's the thing. In a relationship, I think, though, I'm one of those people. I'm not a strong person who believes in hinting around in the first place. I do believe in using your words wisely and carefully, but I'm really not a strong believer in hinting around, because as long as you're hinting around, what it does, it builds up, like you mentioned earlier, it builds up this this tension and frustration on the inside because you're getting irked by this person. And it just keeps building and building and building. And after a while, this is the reason why you could be considered a verbal abuser, because you just, when you unload, it would have been, it was supposed to be one situation that happened that day. But by the time you get done, you done brought up 10 different situations. And the listener's like, where in the heck did all this come from? Well, I'm back dating. I'm gathering up all the crap that I've been pissed with you about, that I've been tippy-toeing around, so that, you know, in my effort to maintain a good relationship with you, I try not to say this to you, but you know what? Enough is enough, and so let me just let you have it all at one time. I feel like, you know what? Avoid that. As each situation come up, have an open, honest discussion. I feel like the some of the best relationships that you will have with people are the ones that you have the most honesty with, and that means sometimes you're going to have great conversation, and sometimes it's going to be a tough conversation. But either way it goes for me, I always appreciate people that I don't have to figure out where they're coming from. I don't like to have to guess what your motives are when you're talking to me, because that's just doing too much brain power, and I don't trust you. I don't know if you're a deceiver. I don't know if you have it out for me. See, a whole lot of bad stuff will come into play if I don't know where you're coming from. So I'd rather that you are a person who just give it to me straight. Yeah, I might be pissed and not like your answer at the moment, but at least I know exactly where you're coming from. I don't have to guess whether you meant what you said, whether you love me or don't love me. I don't have to guess that. I like straightforward people. What's your idea of a good person?
I like a straightforward person. I like to, because, you know, I take you at face value. You know, I take you, and until you show me who you are, I go with the thought that we all have good in us. And, you know, and I truly believe that God protects me. So if you mean me any harm, I truly believe, and I keep saying that, if you mean me any harm, I don't, you know, do justice will show up on you. You know, be careful. Be very, very careful when you go mess with God's people. Now, I'm not no holiness, and I'm not no saint. We all,
right,
you know, I keep it very real in that area. But I like good character. I like people. I keep my circle very good, very positive. I keep my circle of friends, my inner as well as my outer circle. I keep them. I try to make sure they have good character. And I truly believe you attract what you are. And I know I'm a good person. I'm not perfect, but I am a good person with good heart. Well, you know, with compassion and love and understanding, far, far from perfect. But because of what I am, I believe that's what I attract. And therefore, that's why I believe I have the friends that I have in my life, which I'm just so grateful for. I mean, having wonderful people in your life close to you gives you a peace of mind. It gives you a peace. It's not temporary. It is peace of mind that stays consistent no matter what's going on, no matter what your happenings are. So, you know, we say it, but I really do live it. I really do try to keep good people. And I don't mean that, you know, good character, you know, loving, caring people that, you know, mean well.
Right.
Not
right.
Perfect, you know, but they mean well. You know, they have, I don't even want to say good intentions, because, you know, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So
tell
that's how
truth,
I like it.
So
I do agree with you.
Tell the truth and shame the devil. Ain't that the truth?
You know?
But you know what? Here's the
you
thing.
Know?
I think that a lot of times, if you're, let's switch hats one more time, because I know we're running short on time, but let's spend a few minutes helping people who are in a verbally abusive situation. Okay? Here's my strong suggestion. If you're in a verbally abusive situation, what causes it to be abusive is because this person is just letting off on you, using their lips as boxing gloves to your emotions. And oftentimes when you're in that situation, one or two things are happening. Either you're cowering down and you're just letting them say what they want to say, and you're starting to actually internalize their comments. And the first thing I need you to understand is that just because a person does not see your value doesn't mean that you're not valuable. And I need to say that again. Just because a person does not see your value does not mean that they are not that you're not valuable. Jackie, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. And I'm just going to throw one thing in there. A lot of the stuff that people, a lot of the hate that comes out of people's mouths, I need for everybody to remember, It is not about you. Yes, it's being said to you. It's being directed at you. But the hatred and everything, that's really, they're speaking of self. There's something inside them that they're unpleased with. They're unhappy. They're angry. Now, sometimes, keep it real now. If you messed up, now keep it real to yourself. If you messed up, you know you messed up, and you didn't do right. Now, they may be coming out their mouth sideways because they're really emotional and they're saying a lot of hurtful stuff. Know this. Look at the person that's saying that. They love you. Now, this is like a two-day show here because you got some people who need to hear it, but you may not need to hear it that way.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is if the stuff that's coming out of a person's mouth, if you can mentally separate the emotional words from what the point of view is, if you can just get the point of view out of it, or better yet, if the person is losing it, if you could just let the steam out first. Don't try to cut the steam off. Let the steam fly. And then after the steam goes away and they calm down, just say, I hear what you say, but can we talk about it when you're not so emotional? Because you're saying very hurtful things to me. You're too emotional. You know, if it's something you need to hear. Now, if you got a person that's verbally just beating up on you, just because, then look, value yourself and understand that
right.
They are just angry about some other stuff. There's some stuff within their self that they need to work out. And instead of identifying that, instead of dealing with self, most of us don't like to deal with self. It's easier for me to blame the entire world for everything going wrong or everything I don't like about myself. It's easy to do that. And that's what people do. People lash out at the easy, and if you're an easy victim, most of the time it's your children because they're the easy ones. They won't fight you back. So they normally, verbal abusers, people will attack the easy prey. If it's a woman that won't fight back, Tina Turner's a perfect movie. It's a thin line between love and hate until she fought back. Now just think about that movie. Look at how her mother did. You need to go back over there to that man that's whooping your ass. Excuse my French. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Excuse my French. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But at the same time, her mother was looking out for her future. You know, this man going to make you rich, but you going to take that tail whooping for that.
Right.
I don't mean to make it a laughing event, but what I'm saying is...
But I got one question.
Go ahead.
I got one important question. Before we get off this show today about abuse, verbal abuse, why, and this is on behalf of all men, you ain't got to answer the question because I doubt if you have one that we'll like, but for all men around the country, we all want to know, why is it that when women are on their period, they have such bad attitudes? Lord have mercy. We're going to end the show right there. Jackie? Any?
Carla, y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good night. And I'll be talking to y'all tomorrow, full circle. And you know what we're going to talk about? It's kind of tied into this show. But I've been dealing with a lot of women talking about women hating on them, the hateration that's going on in the universe. We're going to talk about it.
All right, everybody. I'm playing some Kanye West beats, just no music. I just like the beat itself. Enjoy this. We'll be here tomorrow. Bye, y'all.
Good night, family.